The following program is brought to you by Audio Journal, a radio reading service intended for a print impaired audience. Material is selected with the interest of its audience in mind, with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, its staff, or volunteer readers. Welcome all to Audio Journal's Poets Corner, the program that offers its print-impaired audience and other listeners the opportunity to listen to poetry of people from all walks of life, of those from the distant past right up to the present day. This production is brought to you in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. I'm George Blomquist, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading poetry from the pens of poets such as Heather Swan, Natasha Trethewey, Ted Kooser, and Joseph Millar, to name but a few. They and others are found in the superb anthology titled The Path to Kindness, Poems of Connection and Joy, edited by James Cruz. In his introduction to this anthology, Cruz reminds us that, quote, "By showing us all the ways we can still practice being together, these poems encourage us to capture and hold onto the moments that matter the most to us in life. Many of the poems included here also model for us the ways that we might let ourselves surrender more fully to joy." End quote. So, with that said, let us now begin our program with the poem titled Bowl by Heather Swan, which is dedicated to her mother. It reads, "From the mud in her hands, the bowl was born, opening like a flower in an arch of petals, then becoming a vessel, both empty and full. Later, in the kiln, it was ravaged by fire, its surface etched and vitrified, searing the glaze into glass as its body turned to stone. It is at the edge of damage that beauty is honed, and in Japan, the potter tells me, when a tea bowl cracks in the fire, that crack is filled with gold." About this poem, editor James Cruz writes, "The practice Heather Swan refers to in the last stanza of Bowl is called kintsugi, which in Japanese means literally golden joinery. Yet this drive to highlight the cracks in something, what some might call its failures, goes against the message most of us receive throughout our lives, that we should be striving for perfection. We are each born of such humble materials, from the mud, as it were, and are then sent into the fires of life, with little protection, often to be ravaged, etched, and vitrified. We are then, oddly enough, encouraged to hide all evidence of past pain, to conceal our scars and the markings that can render us kinder and more compassionate people. Eventually, we come to see, as Swan puts it so well, quote, it is at the edge of damage that beauty is honed, end quote. It is by risking brokenness that we grow stronger, a vessel both empty and full, made more true by its so-called flaws. Instead of covering up cracks or pretending they don't exist, this poem implies we can flaunt them like gold for all the world to see." Up next, Housekeeping by Natasha Trethewey. "We mourn the broken things, chair legs wrenched from their seats, chipped plates, and the threadbare clothes. We work the magic of glue, drive the nails, mend the holes. We save what we can, melt small pieces of soap, gather fallen pecans, keep neck bones for soup. Beating rugs against the house, we watch dusts, lit like stars, spreading across the yard. Late afternoon, we draw the blinds to cool the rooms, drive the bugs out. My mother irons, singing, lost in reverie. I mark the pages of a mail-order catalog, listen for passing cars. All day we watch for the mail, some news from a distant place. Natasha Trethewey's first collection of poetry, Domestic Work, Greywood Press, 2000, was selected by Rita Dove as the winner of the inaugural Cave Canem Poetry Prize. She is also the author of Monument, Poems New and Selected, from Houghton Mifflin Press, 2018. In 2012, Trethewey was named both the State Poet Laureate of Mississippi and the 19th U.S. Poet Laureate by the Library of Congress. Trethewey is the Board of Trustees Professor of English at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. Our next poem pines for the days of yesteryear, when family members kept in touch with one another, especially around Christmas time, by way of the written word. It's titled Round Robin Letter by Ted Kooser. They've all spun down, wobbled, and fallen still in this digital age, those lost merry-go-rounds of a whole family's news, each recipient, brother and sister, cousin or aunt, adding a page or two written in ballpoint, addressing a fresh envelope, licking the stamps and mailing it on, plenty of time between stops to collect something to say, then to carefully offer it up in the school blackboard cursive. A nephew who liked his new job, a chestnut foal born with a diamond-shaped patch on its nose, a good neighbor who had been found in his barn had been buried in rain. Each envelope fattened on gossip and family news, then sent on its way, an event for the next addressee, something special to find in the box by the road, then to carry back, place on the table, and wait, not to be opened till part of your part of the family was there. The 13th U.S. Poet Laureate from 2004 to 2006, Ted Kooser is a retired life insurance executive who lives on acreage near the village of Garland, Nebraska, with his wife, Kathleen Rutledge. His collection, Delights and Shadows, was awarded the Pulitzer Prize in Poetry in 2005. His poems have appeared in The Atlantic, The Hudson Review, The Antioch Review, The Kenyon Review, and dozens of other literary journals. He is the author most recently of Kindness Regards, New and Selected Poems, 2018, and Red Stilts, 2020, both from Copper Canyon Press. Here's a similarly themed verse titled Mailman by Sally Bliumas Dunn. Each day the mailman rides to a dutiful stop, slides his hand into the small aluminum tunnel of our mailbox. I wonder if the air feels differently than it did a few years back, all the emails zipping past him like no-see-ums. Sometimes I miss seeing someone's script make its way across the envelope with the sure sense of the steady straight line, and then unfolding the letter, the slight shadows from the creases as I read it, reminding me, for a moment, of who had folded and tucked the letter into the envelope, sealed it with their tongue, and carried it to a mailbox, where it sat, with all the other letters, in a long silence that could have lasted for days. Sally Bliumas Dunn's poems have appeared in On the Seawall, Paris Review, Prairie Schooner, Plume, Poetry London, The New York Times, PBS NewsHour, Upstreet, Poem A Day, and Ted Kooser's column, among others. In our next poem, life can still be an lonely experience, despite our modern means of communication. It's titled Telephone Repairman by Joseph Millar. All morning, in the February light, he has been mending cable, splicing the pairs of wires together according to their colors, white-blue to white-blue, violet-slate to violet-slate, in the warehouse attic by the river. When he is finished, the messages will flow along the line. Thank you for the gift. Please come to the baptism. The bill is now past due. Voices that flicker and gleam back and forth across the tracer-colored wires. We live so much of our lives without telling anyone, going out before dawn, working all day by ourselves, shaking our heads in silence at the news on the radio. He thinks of the many signals flying in the air around him, the syllables fluttering, saying, "Please love me," from continent to continent, over the curve of the earth. Joseph Millar is the author of 6 books of poetry, including Dark Harvest, New and Selected Poems, Carnegie Mellon University Press, 2021, and Overtime, Eastern Washington University Press, 2001, which was a finalist for the Oregon Book Award. He is the recipient of fellowships from the Guggenheim Foundation and the National Endowment for the Arts, and teaches in the MFA programs at North Carolina State and Pacific University. Enjoying those fleeting, seemingly inconsequential moments in one's life is explored in The News of Love by David Graham. The squirrel on our maple flicks its tail, our dog at the window watching steadily. Love is steady, too, and sturdy. Like a 1,000-year-old tree, they built the house around it. But dumb love's fun, too. Like the baby laughing non-stop whenever you rip some paper. You feel love more than see it, like the wind on your face. But don't take my word for it. Look instead at the shoreline pines, how they all lean one direction, even when there's no wind. Most recent of David Graham's 7 collections of poetry is The Honey of Earth, Terrapin Books, 2019. Others include Stutter Monk, Flume Press, and Second Wind, Texas Tech University Press. He co-edited with Tom Montag the poetry anthology Local News, Poetry All About Small Towns, MWPH Books, 2019. And with Kate Sontag, the essay anthology After Confession, Poetry as Confession, Gray Wolf Press, 2001. He lives in Glen Falls, New York. In the following verse, the poet speaks of the oneness with nature in Arctic Night, Lights Across the Sky by Linda Hogan. It reads, "We are curved together, body to body, cell to cell, arm over another. The world is the bed for the cold night. One cat curled in the bend of a knee, dog at the feet, my hand in yours. We are embraced in animal presence, warmth, the sea outside, sounding winter waves, one arriving after another from the mystery far out. Where, in the depths of the sea, are other beings that create their own light, this world all one heartbeat." Linda Hogan is a Chickasaw poet, novelist, essayist, playwright, teacher, and activist who has spent most of her life in Oklahoma and Colorado. Her fiction has garnered many honors, including a Pulitzer Prize nomination, and her poetry collections have received the American Book Award, the Colorado Book Award, and a National Book Critics Circle nomination. Her latest book is A History of Kindness, Torrey House Press, 2020. Up next, The Dogs at Live Oak Beach, Santa Cruz, by Alicia Ostreicher. As if there could be a world of absolute innocence in which we forget ourselves, the owners throw sticks and half-balled tennis balls toward the surf, and the happy dogs leap after them as if catapulted. Black dogs, tan dogs, tubes of glorious muscle, pursuing pleasure more than obedience, they race, skid to a halt in the wet sand. Sometimes they'll plunge straight into the foaming breakers like diving birds, letting the green turbulence toss them until they snap and sink teeth into floating wood, then bound back to their owners, shining wet with passionate speed for nothing, for absolutely nothing but joy. Alicia Ostreicher is Professor Emerita of English at Rutgers University and a faculty member of Drew University's Low Residency Poetry MFA program. In 2018, she was named New York State Poet by Governor Andrew Cuomo. Ostreicher served as Chancellor of the Academy of American Poets from 2015 to 2021. She lives in New York City. Continuing with the theme of our canine friends' impact on our lives, here's the poem Rescue Dog by Nancy Gordon. It reads, Jake comes into sight, 10 pounds of whirling golden fur, legs and feet a blur, released from his leash to greet me, racing toward me. Eyes dark pools, shining, ears flapping with his running and jumping, up into my arms, onto my shoulder, his body close to my chest, my heart. Tongue lapping everywhere, doggy kisses, says my friend, who lets me share walks with him. Quick breaths, his heart pounding, his body warm and flexible as a gymnast's. He drinks water from my hands. He walks us. He explores the scents, the grass, all that he can reach from his reach-attached leash. He and my friend debate the boundaries. When I have to leave, I turn to watch them go. And Jake turns, looks back again, crooks his head. Where are you going? Aren't you coming with us? Nancy Gordon grew up in the Adirondacks, her true home, then taught English in New Jersey for years, including a year on exchange in New Zealand. A midlife marriage and move were followed by law school and years of law practice. She and her husband have returned home to the Adirondacks, and she now has more time for poetry, always an important part of her life. Next, New York Downpour by Dan Butler. The night sky cracked open on us full force, a deluge, a drench, and laughing, arms around one another, we soaked it up like a couple of Gene Kellys, stomping, singing, not even a twinge of an urge to run, just pure revel, hummingbird joy, as lightning flashed, capturing the moment. Soon the storm grew tired of scaring us off the streets and subsided into grumpy rumblings while we splashed our way through the puddles from West End Avenue through Riverside Park all the way to the edge of the Hudson. Dan Butler is known primarily as an actor whose credits include major roles on and off Broadway, on television, and in film, where he has also written, directed, and produced. In 2011, Dan adapted and directed a screen version of poet laureate Ted Kooser's verse poem Pearl, starring Frances Sternhagen and himself, which had a great life on the film festival circuit. New York Downpour, Max Dan's first published poem. The following poem relates the joy of a tired dad after a long day's work in the city. It's titled, After Work, by Richard Jones. Coming up from the subway into the cool Manhattan evening, I feel rough hands on my heart. Women in the market yelling over rows of tomatoes and peppers. Old men sitting on a stoop playing cards. Cabbies cursing each other with fists, while the music of church bells sails over the street, and the father, angry and tired after working all day, embracing his little girl, kissing her, mi vida, mi corazón, brushing the hair out of her eyes so she can see. Richard Jones's 16 books include Apropos for Nothing, Copper Canyon Press, 2006, The Correct Spelling and Exact Meaning, Copper Canyon Press, 2010, and Stranger on Earth, also Copper Canyon Press, 2018. For 40 years, he has edited the literary journal Poetry East and curated its many anthologies, including Origins, The Last Believer in Words, and Bliss. He is professor of English at DePaul University in Chicago. Up next, Abundance to Share with the Birds, by Andrea Potos. Another early morning in front of the bathroom mirror, my daughter making faces at herself while I pull back her long brown hair, gathering the breath and shine in my hands, brushing and smoothing before weaving the braid she will wear to school for the day. Afterwards, stray strands nestle in the brush, and because nothing of beauty is ever wasted, I pull them out, stand on the front porch, and let them fly. Andrea Potos is the author of several poetry collections, including Marrow of Summer, Kelsey Books, Mother Shell, Kelsey Books, and Yaya's Cloth, Iris Press. Her poems most recently appeared in Spirituality and Health magazine, Poetry East, The Sun, Braided Way, and How to Love the World, Poems of Gratitude and Hope. Andrea lives in Madison, Wisconsin. Here's a touching and thought-provoking exchange between father and daughter in Mimesis by Fadi Judah. My daughter wouldn't hurt a spider that had nested between her bicycle handles. For 2 weeks, she waited until it left on its own accord. If you tear down the web, I said, it will simply know this isn't a place to call home, and you'd get to go biking. She said, that's how others become refugees, isn't it? Fadi Judah is a Palestinian-American physician, poet, and translator. He was born in Austin, Texas, but grew up in Libya and Saudi Arabia. Judah's debut collection of poetry, The Earth in the Attic, 2008, won the 2007 Yale Series of Younger Poets competition, chosen by Louise Gluck. Judah lives with his family in Houston, where he serves as a physician of internal medicine. Dealing with and surviving the countless vicissitudes of life is struck upon here in our next poem, Kindness, by Naomi Shihab Nye. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go, so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers, eating maize and chicken, will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he, too, was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows, and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend. We now conclude our program with the poem "Mercy" by Rudy Francisco. It reads, "She asks me to kill the spider. Instead, I get the most peaceful weapons I can find. I take a cup and a napkin. I catch the spider, put it inside, and allow it to walk away. If I am ever caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, just being alive and not bothering anyone, I hope I am greeted with the same kind of mercy." Rudy Francisco is one of the most recognizable names in spoken word poetry. He was born, raised, and still resides in San Diego, California. As an artist, Rudy Francisco is an amalgamation of social critique, introspection, honesty, and humor. He uses personal narratives to discuss the politics of race, class, gender, and religion, while simultaneously pinpointing and reinforcing the interconnected nature of human existence. He is the author of "I'll Fly Away," Button Poetry, 2020. You've been listening to Poets' Corner, a production of Audio Journal, proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you have any comments or suggestions for Poets' Corner, please let us know by calling us at 508-797-1117 or by emailing us at info@audiojournal.org or by mailing us directly at Audio Journal, 799 West Boylston Street, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01606. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm George Blomquist, thanking you for listening. And now, stay tuned for other local programming brought to you by Audio Journal.
What's your vision?
My vision is 20/200.
Light perception in the right eye and zero vision in the left eye.
20/200 at best on my left eye, and on my right eye, I cannot.
No, I mean, what's your vision?
My goal is to become a journalist.
To be able to work.
Financial independence.
My vision is employment opportunities for all, including people with disabilities.
My vision is for all of my students to dream big.
That he become fully independent.
For my patients to live their best lives.
What's your vision?
What's your vision?
What is your vision?
A the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, our vision is clear. We believe that all people who are blind or visually impaired should have the opportunity to work and thrive. To learn how we can help you meet your employment or workforce goals, call 800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.
The following program is brought to you by Audio Journal, a radio reading service intended for a print-impaired audience. Material is selected with the interest of its audience in mind, with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, its staff, or volunteer readers. Welcome all to Audio Journal's Poets' Corner, the program that offers its print-impaired audience and other listeners the opportunity to listen to poetry of people from all walks of life, of those from the distant past right up to the present day. This production is brought to you in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. I'm George Bloomquist, and for the next half hour, I'll be reciting poems from the pens of poets such as Christine Kitano, Paula Gordon Lepp, Ellen Rowland, and Jane Hirschfield, to name but a few. They, as well as others, are found in the superb anthology, The Path to Kindness, Poems of Connection and Joy, edited by James Cruz. In his introduction to this anthology, Cruz reminds us that, by showing us all the ways we can still practice being together, these poems encourage us to capture and hold onto the moments that matter the most to us in life. Many of the poems included here also model for us the ways that we might let ourselves surrender more fully to joy. With that said, then, let us now begin our program with the poem For the Korean Grandmother on Sunset Boulevard by Christine Kitano. It reads, "So you are here. Night comes as it does elsewhere. Light pulls slowly away from telephone posts. Shadows of buildings darken the pavement like something spilled. Even the broken moon seems to turn its face. And again you find yourself on this dark riverbed, this asphalt miracle, holding your end of a rope that goes slack when you tug it. Such grief you bear alone. But wait. Just now a light approaches. Its rich band draws you forward, out of shadow. It is here, the bus that will ferry you home. Go ahead, Grandmother. Go on." Christine Kitano is the author of two collections of poetry, Birds of Paradise, Lynx House Press, and Sky Country, BOA Editions, which won the Central New York Book Award and was a finalist for the Patterson Poetry Prize. She is co-editor of the forthcoming They Rise Like a Wave, Blue Oak Press, an anthology of Asian American women and non-binary poets. In addition to teaching at Ithaca College, she serves as Tompkins County Poet Laureate. Receiving help from perfect strangers can be awkward at times, but also rewarding, as expressed in our next poem, Gas Station Communion, by Paula Gordon Lepp. It reads, "It was a little thing, really, this offer to fill my tire. I was unscrewing the valve cap and heard a voice behind me. 'Here, I'll get that for you.' 'Oh, that's okay, I've got it,' is what I normally say to such overtures, this knee-jerk reaction to refuse. I am the one who offers to help. I am the one who serves. Perhaps it was the eager spirit in his face, or his brown eyes full of hopeful connection, that caused me to say, 'Okay.' I felt the vibration of his unspoken benediction. 'I can't do much for you, fellow weary traveler, but I can do this.
lay down your burden, and I will carry it for a bit. And I couldn't help but wonder how many times I have denied someone the blessing of serving, because I have been too stubborn to accept their gift. As I was standing there in the sun-drenched gas station parking lot, the hiss and tick of the air pump sounded very much like a psalm. I watched his hands filling more than just my tire with air, while goodness and grace swirled around us. Paula Gordon Lapp lives in South Charleston, West Virginia, with her husband and two almost grown kids. She grew up in a rural community in the Mississippi Delta, and a childhood spent roaming woods and fields, climbing trees, and playing in the dirt instilled in her a love for nature that is reflected in her poems. Paula's work has been published in the anthologies How to Love the World, Poems of Gratitude and Hope, and The Mountain, Middle Creek Publishing. In the following verse, the poet is overcome by a compulsion of sorts out of the blue in A Great Wild Goodness by Annie Lightheart. One morning I was looking out the window when a great wild goodness came over me. I wanted to be kind to everything. I promised not to kill the big spider on the wall. In the cold, I took the dog for the long walk she had been wanting. I fetched a trash can lid for an ornery neighbor and did not just then add a single adjective to his name. I went back inside to the laundry and dishes with a clean heart, such as I have never had. Before dinner, the wild goodness shouted, "Too tame! Too tame!" So I went outside without my coat and shouted poems up to the stars until my children came home with their small warm hands. Then we ate bread in the kitchen, unafraid to be happy. The stars in the wild darkness were right over our heads. Annie Lightheart began writing poetry after her first visit to an Oregon old growth forest, and now teaches poetry wherever she can. Poems from her books Iron String and Pax have been featured on The Writer's Almanac and in many anthologies. Annie's work has been turned into music, been used in healing projects, and traveled further than she has. In our next poem, even simple menial chores in the kitchen, such as baking bread, can become a joyful adventure. It's called No Small Thing by Ellen Rowland. The smell of baking bread, smooth floured hands, butter waiting to be spread with blackberry jam, and I realize this is no small thing. These days spent confined, I am drawn to life's ordinary details, the largeness of all we can do alongside what we cannot. The list of allowances far outweighs my complaints. I am fortunate to have flour and yeast, a source of heat, not to mention soft butter, the tartness of blackberries harvested on a cold back road, a kitchen, a home, two working hands to stir and knead, a clear enough head to gather it all. Even the big toothy knife feels miraculous as it grabs hold and cracks the crust. Ellen Rowland creates, concocts, and forages when she's not writing. She's the author of Light Come Gather Me, a selection of mindfulness haiku, and Everything I Thought I Knew, a collection of essays about living, learning, and parenting outside the status quo. Her writing has appeared in various literary journals and in several poetry anthologies. She lives off the grid on a tiny island in Greece. Next, I Would Like by Jane Hirschfield. I would like my living to inhabit me the way rain, sun, and their wanting inhabit a fig or apple. I would like to meet it also in pieces, scattered. A conversation set down on a long hallway table. A disappointment pocketed inside a jacket. Some long-ago longing glimpsed, half-recognized in the corner of a thrift store painting. To discover my happiness, walking first toward, then away from me, down a stairwell, two strong legs all its own. Also, the uncountable wheat stalks, how many times broken, beaten, sent between grindstones, before entering the marriage of oven and bread. Let me find my life in that, too. In my moments of clumsiness and solitude, in days of vertigo and hesitation, in the many year ends that found me standing on top of a stovetop to take down a track light, in my nights asked, sometimes answered questions. I would like to add to my life, while we are still living, a little salt and butter, one more slice of the edible apple, a teaspoon of jam from the long simmered fig, to taste as if something tasted for the first time what we will have become then. Jane Hirschfield's 9th recently published poetry collection is Ledger, Knopf Press, 2020. A former chancellor for the Academy of American Poets, her work appears in The New Yorker, The Atlantic, The Times Literary Supplement, The New York Review of Books, and 10 editions of the Best American Poetry Series. In 2019, she was elected to the American Academy Arts and Sciences. Here's a celebration of what it's like to be one with nature's wonderful bounty in the poem titled A Pot of Red Lentils by Peter Pereira. A pot of red lentils simmers on the kitchen stove. All afternoon, dense kernels surrender to the fertile juices, their tender bellies swelling with delight. In the yard, we plant rhubarb, cauliflower, and artichokes, cupping wet earth over tubers, our labor, the germ of later sustenance and renewal. Across the field, the sound of a baby crying as we carry in the last carrots, whorls of butter lettuce, a basket of red potatoes. Want to remember us this way? Late September sun streaming through the window, bread loaves and golden bunches of grapes on the table, spoonfuls of hot soup rising to our lips, filling us with what endures. Peter Pereira is a family physician in Seattle, Washington, whose poems have appeared in Poetry, Prairie Schooner, New England Review, Virginia Quarterly Review, and Journal of the American Medical Association. His books include What's Written on the Body, Copper Canyon Press, 2007, which was a finalist for the Washington State Book Award, Saying the World, Copper Canyon Press, 2003, which won the 2002 Hayden Carruth Award, and the limited edition chapbook, The Lost Twin, Gray Spider Press, 2000. Seizing the moment and cherishing it can be a great source of happiness, as expressed in our next verse, You Reading This? Be Ready, by William Stafford. Starting here, what do you want to remember? How sunlight creeps along a shining floor? What scent of old wood hovers? What softened sound from outside fills the air? Will you ever bring a better gift for the world than the breathing respect that you carry wherever you go right now? Are you waiting for time to show you some better thoughts? When you turn around, starting here, lift this new glimpse that you found. Carry into evening all that you want from this day. This interval you spent reading or hearing this, keep it for life. What can anyone give you greater than now, starting here, or right in this room, when you turn around? William Stafford's first collection of poems, West of Your City, wasn't published until he was in his mid-40s. However, by the time of his death in 1993, Stafford had published hundreds of poems and was said to have written at least one new poem a day. His collection, Traveling Through the Dark, won the National Book Award in Poetry in 1963. Stafford also received the award in literature from the American Academy and Institute of Arts and Letters, and a National Endowment for the Arts Senior Fellowship. Come In by Connie Wainick. It was the neighbor at the back door with a Vidalia onion in each hand, straight from the 10-pound sack the Shriners were selling, or the Rotarians, or Oddfellows, or one of those antique civic organizations of great uncles atoning for their sins on a just-in-time basis. Come in, and she did, smiling. The 15 months of COVID had given those simple words a radical new meaning, an assertiveness. Felt I was tearing up a contract I never wanted to sign. Membership in an HOA, maybe. Pale yellow onions, too clean to have come from the soil, surely too sweet to make you cry. Connie Wainick was born in Wisconsin, was raised in New Mexico, and lived for over a quarter century in Duluth, Minnesota. She is the author of Bonfire, New Rivers Press, winner of the New Voices Award, Hartley Field, Holy Cow Press, and On Speaking Terms, Copper Canyon Press. In 2016, the University of Nebraska Press published Wainick's Rival Gardens, New and Selected Poems, as part of their Ted Kooser Contemporary Poetry Series. Next, Time and the Writer's Life carries on for a better tomorrow in Still Life with Ladder by Susan Rich. Today, the sky saved my life, caught between smoked rum and cornflour. Today, there is a color I can't name cruising past the back door. It is the idea of color. Cloudscapes evaporate like love songs across lost islands, each a small bitcoin of thought. Today, I'm alive, and this is a good thing. Clams in the half shell, a lemon rosemary tart. I live in the day, and the day lives past me. If I could draw a map of the hours, a long horizon would travel on indefinitely, a green backlit thread. The sky? Well, it's never the same. It's sour milk and whipped cream, a sketchbook in flower-dusted jeans. Today, I'm in love with the sky. It doesn't care if my father is dead, or that I live by myself with his Masonic watch. I sew time with my mother's button jar. I've improvised my life. Let the sky pull the strings. Tonight, I will borrow the golden ladder from the orchard, travel from this sphere into the next, and expunge the leftover sadness of the hemispheres to move beyond the beyond which is here, present, alive in this hyacinth room. Time leaps over itself after and out of the tangled past, over shadows of weather falling across a back window, to forgive one another. To try once more to live it right. Susan Rich is an award-winning poet, editor, and essayist. She's the author of Cloud Pharmacy, The Alchemist's Kitchen, Cures Include Travel, and The Cartographer's Tongue. She co-edited the anthology The Strangest of Theaters, McSweeney's Books, and has received awards from PEN America and the Fulbright Foundation. Gallery of Postcards and Maps, New and Collected Poems is forthcoming from Salmon Press, and Blue Atlas from Red Hen Press in 2024. Here's a poem recounting a wife's loving dedication to her husband in Braiding His Hair by Allison Luderman. Here we are, each morning. My husband on our kitchen chair, its upholstery mended with duct tape, his head bent forward while I comb out his long, wheat-colored hair. Not what I thought we'd be doing in our 60s, me dividing the wet silk of it, still stubbornly reddish gold, only a little white at the sideburns. 3 thick hanks in hand, I begin to plait over, under, over, under. I don't remember when he stopped cutting his hair and decided to let it grow as long as a girl's, and he was mistaken for a girl once, a tall, stoop-shouldered man-girl, when he stood on the sidewalk, back to the street, and a car drove by, honking and catcalling. At him, not me. We laughed, but I had to wonder, when did his tresses, now halfway to his waist, first spill over his shoulders? It must have happened while we slept, as most things do. And how did he come to sit before me so patiently now, head bowed, while I braid? As if he were the daughter I never had, and this my one chance to weave my care into each over, under, over, under. Allison Luterman's 4 books of poetry are The Largest Possible Life, See How We Almost Fly, Desire Zoo, and In the Time of Great Fires, Catamaran Press, 2020. Her poems and stories have appeared in The Sun, Rattle, Salon, Prairie Schooner, Nimrod, The Atlantic Review, Tattoo Highway, and elsewhere. In the following verse, an elderly couple share a poignant moment in an apple orchard in Love in Our 60s by Judith Sornberger. You lead me hand in hand through your apple orchard, like the one where I was married half a life ago. Although we met when old, I once thought we might wed, become partners as we were with our former long-time loves. You're showing me the once wild apple tree onto whose boughs you grafted other varieties, Priscilla, Famous, Ida Red, like the names of children we will never have. I once hoped that we, potter and poet, man and woman, might graft our lives in such a way that they couldn't be divided, though we're as white-haired as crowns of apple trees in May. You point out the raised place where old met new and melded right down to the heartwood where separateness has almost been erased. I trace the scar as you reach up to pick a few apples for us to taste. Oh, the scarlet kiss of skin, the sweetness of today. Judith Sornberger is the author of 4 poetry collections: Angel Chimes, Poems of Advent and Christmas, I Call to You from Time, Practicing the World, and Open Heart. Her prose memoir, The Accidental Pilgrim, Finding God and His Mother in Tuscany, is published by Shanti Arts. She is Professor Emerita of Mansfield University, where she taught English and women's studies. She lives on the side of a mountain in the northern Appalachians of Pennsylvania. Up next, That New, by Susan Rothbard. At the market today, I look for piñata apples. They're soft, blush yellow. My husband brought them home last week, made me guess at the names of the new strain, which he held in one hand like a gift, and laughed as I tried all the names I knew. Gala, Fuji, Honeycrisp. Watched his face for clues. What to call something new? It's winter, only tawny hues and frozen ground, but that apple bride was sweet, and I want to bring it back to him, that new. When he cut it, the star inside held its seeds of other stars. The way within a life are all the lives you might live, each unnamed until you name it. Susan Rothbard's poems have appeared in Patterson Literary Review, The Comstock Review, English Journal, Dogwood, and Spindrift. She earned her MFA in creative writing at Fairleigh Dickinson University, and her recent book, Birds of New Jersey, Broadkill River Press, was awarded the Dogfish Head Poetry Prize. The wonderful resilience of nature is recounted in our next poem, The Innermost Chamber of My Home is Yours, by David Axelrod. Until now, I hadn't looked up all day. It's already late October, and this month of the campaign the rains returned, the earth soft underfoot, lawns in town, fescue, wild rye, and bunch grass in the foothills, winter wheat in the valley, all bled together into a green film. And for no reason at all, I glanced up the slopes at Glass Hill, where forests burned 40 years ago, and caught a glimpse of it, a future world where a young aspen grove yields back all the summer's light into air. David Axelrod's new collection of poems, Years Beyond the River, appeared in 2021 from Terrapin Books. His second collection of nonfiction, The Eclipse I Call Father, Essays on Absence, was published by Oregon State University Press in the spring of 2019. Axelrod directs the Low Residency MFA and Wilderness Ecology and Community Program at Eastern Oregon University. He makes his home in Missoula, Montana. You've been listening to Poets' Corner, a production of Audio Journal, proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you have any comments or suggestions for Poets' Corner, please let us know by calling us at 508-797-1117 or by emailing us at info@audiojournal.org or by mailing us directly, Audio Journal, 799 West Boylston Street, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01606. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm George Bloomquist, thanking you for listening. And now, stay tuned for other local programming brought to you by Audio Journal.
Music Worcester is excited to announce The Complete Bach, an 11-year project to perform the compositions of Johann Sebastian Bach. This bold project will include 12 concerts a year over the next 11 years, ending in 2035 on Bach's 350th birthday. Enjoy listening to Bach's vocal, organ, and harpsichord, as well as string and orchestral arrangements, all happening in various venues in Worcester. By 2035, all known pieces by Bach will have been performed, all in Worcester. Be a part of this historical endeavor. Subscription packages for three or more events, along with single tickets, are on sale at musicworcester.org.